What's going on, gamers? Welcome back to the Graveyard. I'm the Graveyard Gamer, and thank you for joining me for this Graveyard review of Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Now, gamers, I have been a big fan of this series all the way back to when it wasn't Marvel Ultimate Alliance, and it was actually X-Men Legends. X-Men Legends, if you guys don't know, you probably know if you've listened to these episodes, I love X-Men Legends. I mean, that was like the perfect game for anybody that had been following X-Men comics from, I say, the 80s, 90s, and obviously the early 2000s when it came out. But X-Men Legends 2 was also fantastic as well. Then you had Marvel Ultimate Alliance, the first one, Raven Software. They developed all three of these games, and I gotta tell you, they all were great. And Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 was awesome because they kind of went bigger in scale, right? It was no longer X-Men, it was now X-Men, Avengers, Fantastic Four, The Defenders, Elektra, Ghost Rider, Moon Knight. Like, it was just all over the place, but it felt awesome. And the storyline, to me, was exactly what I wanted, man. It was very comic book-esque, where you're just on this universe-trotting experience. Then we go a couple years later, it changed hands, and now we have a new developer, and they made Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. And I gotta say, game is still gorgeous. I still have it on my PS5. Actually, I actually have all of these games in some form, except for the first X-Men Legends game. But I digress. But Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2 was so good looking, and it adapted the comic book storyline of Civil War, and it was really cool how they implemented that. So those games were fantastic. So going into getting a Switch, I didn't get a Nintendo Switch until 2021. It kind of happened by happenstance. And one of the first games I said I got to get is Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Unfortunately, I just didn't get it until this past February. I finally got time to jump into it. It's taken me several months to get through it. It's one of those games that I really enjoyed and I'd put down. Then I'd pick back up and I'd play again. And I want to take this time to go through this review and tell you the things that I liked, the things that I didn't like, and kind of give you an idea of maybe or not if this game is for you. So let's start off. Let's talk about the graphics. And look, this is the Nintendo Switch. I didn't play this docked. I never seen what it looks like on my TV, but I can tell you on the handheld mode, it looked good the entire time I played it. I won't say that it was a cel-shaded look that they went through, but they went for a very comic book look, if that makes sense. I actually really enjoyed it. The only time I really saw any kind of performance issues was when you would hit your ultra moves, and I'll talk about that in a minute, with all four of your characters, then it would slow down the frame rate in some instances, just depending on how many people were in there, how many particle effects. But for the most part, I thought it ran pretty dang smooth. And again, I like the style that they went for. It felt very comic book-like. I like the fact that they did not in any way, shape, or form try to ape any of the MCU stuff. Even the additional characters, costumes that you can unlock, for example, with Captain America, and he'll have a different coloring, different look. Or my favorite was Spider-Man. I unlocked his, and it actually became the chrome Spider-Man suit from the 90s comic book. So it felt cool. Now, don't get me wrong. There were some choices I didn't like that I thought they just didn't take the time to really work on that style. For example, when I unlocked Wolverine's second costume, it was supposed to be his classic brown and yellow outfit. However, it was just a reskin of the yellow and blue that's on there. So it doesn't actually look color-wise or design-wise what that costume they went for looked like. So just kind of be in mind, hit or miss like that. But overall, man, graphically, I think you're in for a good-looking game, especially for a Switch. But let's get into the story. And the story, to me, is very similar, but it's kind of what you would expect when you see Thanos. I mean, look, we're in a post-MCU world. We understand what Thanos is. And in this game, it's all about him and the Black Order, and they're trying to get the Infinity Gems. They're not called stones in this. They're Infinity Gems, just like the comic books. And I thought it was a really cool story. I think it's really cool because you see Thanos very little until the end. You actually get to see different characters. You get to see the Black Order. So maybe you only know them from the movies. Well, now you get to actually see their characters and who they are. And they're very true to the comic books. You see a couple other people I won't spoil. But I'll say that what I loved about the story is it seriously went all over the place. You went from nowhere with the Guardians of the Galaxy. You went to Stark Towers. You went to Wilson Fisk, the Kingpin. You went to his headquarters. You went to Asgard's version of Hell. You went to a dark dimension, the X-Mansion, Wakanda. Like, you went all over the place. And I thought that was really cool. Not only did it allow you to get to know some of the characters in those areas, but it also gave you different viewpoints than you typically see in some of these video games. So, for me, I thought the story was awesome. It really felt epic in a big sense. So, let's move on to the actual gameplay, because this is where the bread and butter is. So for me, I thought the gameplay was actually pretty cool. Now, I do have to point something out. This game, you have your light attacks, your heavy attacks. They took away the ability to grapple. And I'm talking about even your teammates or enemies. So in the past Marvel Ultimate Alliance games and even the X-Men Legends games, say you were Colossus and you wanted to throw Wolverine for the old fastball special. You could walk up to him, pick him up, and throw him. Or let's say you were on a bridge, and you wanted to throw some enemies clear the space off and just throw them over the side. Well, you could run up and grab them and throw them over. They took that option out, and I do think that that kind of takes a step back in combat, but for the most part, you still have a good number of options. Now, when it comes to these guys, they're superheroes. Of course, you want to see powers, and they got you in spades. Each character has about four different moves they can use, superpower move, if you will. Even guys like Captain America has stuff where he'll, you know, throw his shield and maybe do like a big charging run. So if they don't have superpowers, they do have a superpower in this game, if that makes sense, or a super move, if you want to call it that. And they're very easily done. You have two options. You hold down the left bumper, and that will actually pull up the different moves. And all you have to do is hold that down and hit one of the corresponding buttons, and boom, you'll do that move, as long as you have enough energy to pull that off. And then if you hold down the left trigger while picking a move, it'll actually call for backup. Now, here's the thing. In the previous Marvel Ultimate Alliance games and even the X-Men games, say you were Captain America and you were calling for help, or you were doing the tag team move, right? And Iron Man is the one that helped you out. You would get this really cool animation where he would shoot his beam at your shield and y'all could take out an entire group of people. That was how the team up moves worked. It was awesome. This game, it's a little bit different. There's no real like team up synergy, no like move that's done, no animation, but you still both do attack. So say you're Wolverine and you hold down the button and Captain America's one that helps you. You might do your slash attack and he might throw his ram into it. So it's just that enemy's gonna get two superpowers on him. Again, it looks cool. It looks awesome. It just doesn't have that unique animation to pull off. Then you also have a ultra move. Now, this is really cool because the cool thing about this game, if you don't know, is you can pick between your team of four people who you're playing as at any point in time. Now, you have to wait for a checkpoint to switch who's on that team. But once you've done it, you're going through, you know, you'll have a character in the up, down, left, and right position on your control pad. And you'll see a little thing at the bottom of your screen to show you who is in what position. Now, what's cool is around their picture, you'll see a little yellow bar. Now, once that fills, you'll actually unlock an ultra move. Now, let's say you're Wolverine and your ultra move has went up. At that point, if you hit the two bumpers, the left and the right bumper, you'll do a screen fighting move that you'll take out a ton of enemies. It's your ultra move. However, what I thought was an ingenious bit that they added to this game is, let's say Wolverine's got it, plus your other three teammates. Well, then all you have to do is hit the left bumper and the right bumper together once. That'll activate Wolverine's, and you just hit it three more times, or two more if only two more people have it. But ultimately, you can have all four people at one time pulling their ultra moves off, and that will decimate a lot of enemies. That will take down a lot of big bosses, extremely weaken them depending on how powerful your people are. So for me, I actually really thought that was a great idea, and it helped out a ton. Now, some other moves you do have a block and a roll, whatnot. So fairly, you know, I don't want to say standard kind of action that you would expect from this type of game. But at the end of the day, like, I think it all works well. You can pull off a lot of cool moves. And I did enjoy each of the characters that I played at, that I put a lot of time with. They each had at least two out of the four moves that I thoroughly enjoyed. Now, you also have the upgrading ability. There is some XP that you got to deal with, and with that allows you to unlock some of the more moves. Like I said, you know, when you start off the game, you might only have one special move you can pull, but as you go up to like level 10, you unlock your second, 15, you might get your third, and then let's say level 25, I'm not sure what the actual numbers are, is when you unlock that fourth one. And that's really cool because what you'll do is as you play through the game, you earn those skill points. As you upgrade, those skill points will be used to actually buy that next skill. I think that's really cool. The other cool thing about the XP is, let's say you're level 19 and you're almost to level 20, but you want to unlock that next move. Well, as you play through the game, you'll pick up different little orbs and shards. And what they'll do is they will give you a different amount of XP when you use them. Now, the cool thing is there's plenty in this game as you go through fight enemies. And that'll really help you bump up. So if you're sitting there and you're like, oh man, I really need these guys to be level 20. Instead of trying to grind them out, you might be able to apply some of those to get them over that hump to get them to that next level. Then there are also little gems that you will find throughout this game, and you'll find a ton of, there's so many that at some points the game might actually, I never had this, but the game might stop you and tell you you need to clean out your inventory. And what they are is, as you equip them for the characters, and again, just like your special moves, as you go up in levels, unlock how many you can equip of these different little gems, but they all have little extra little bonuses, like 5% more attack damage, 2% more health, right? All of them, they correspond with a different color. Red, for example, is your health, and you can equip them. But the cool thing is, if you take the time to go into the menu and go into the ISO management, at that point, you can upgrade them. So let's say you have 5 of those small red gems for health that only give you like that little bit of like 1%. You can combine them all together, and that might actually get you 7% for just one. Well, maybe that medium-sized rock you now have, maybe you have 4 or 5 of those, so you can upgrade and combine all of those, and now you have enough to get you 10% health. So that's really cool. Now, sometimes you got to be careful, because as you upgrade them, they will sometimes, occasionally, not a lot, they'll throw in a negative. So let's say you have, hey, now you have 12% health added, but you lose 6% of your stamina. So then you want to equip a stamina stone in one of those other spots you may have unlocked. So I thought that was cool. There's also a team management screen you can go into that allows you to get those overarching skills that you can buy. You'll be picking up currency throughout the game as you smash stuff and whatnot. And that'll allow you to do things like greatly improve health for people as you start buying those little skill points. And again, this affects everybody, not just one character. So that kind of stuff to me was really well done. There's also in this game Infinity Rifts, and what those are is you'll collect some, and some you'll just kind of unlock as you play through the game. And there's little challenges. They're set up to be really cool. Some of them are just, hey, run through this level as Spider-Man and defeat it in 3 minutes, and if you do, you get an extra tire. Some of them are use a team to try to get through this, and you'll get a lot more of those little gems that I talked about, those little stones, or some are the orbs that will allow you to do the XP. Now, the cool thing is, doing these challenges, as long as you complete them, you're probably going to get a decent amount of XP. You'll see the rooms all have a certain level to them. My personal biggest one that I did was in the Infinity Rift for Rush, and what it did is if you went through this area, and if you cleared out 30 people within 3 minutes, you got a ton of these orbs. Plus, it also wasn't that hard. It was a level 24, so as long as you went there with somebody that was at least level 25 or higher, you could actually take in some lower level guys to kind of run them through so they would actually build up XP. And as long as you completed it, hey, when you went back into the main game, they might have went up 2 or 3 levels. I did that a lot in this game. I did that, I'll put it to you like this, probably in the last several weeks, I have probably put 12 to 15 hours just grinding that one particular challenge room. And you might go, why? Was it that fun? Well, it wasn't not fun. I'll put it to you like that. But therein lies my biggest gripe with this game. See, I had to level people up. Because if you're not playing a character in this game, they're not getting any kind of XP at all. So what I'm saying is, say you haven't played Gamora since the first level and you only got to level 3 with her. Well, then you decide to play with her when you're on the Wakanda level, and that's a recommended level of 30. Guess what? She's only going to be level 3. She's going to get her butt whooped every time somebody comes near her. I think that is a major, major flaw in this game. Like, I understand maybe not giving everybody the same amount of XP just because you move to a different level, but there should have been something done to get people moving up at a relatively close pace with the people you use the most. Now look, I'm a Wolverine guy. I love Wolverine on my team, so I used him for pretty much the entire game, plus doing those challenge rooms. So when I got to the end, he was level 60. However, a lot of the guys, man, when I was really kind of noticing that they were low level, man, like they were in single digits or they were under 15 because maybe I'd used them a little bit more midway through the game. But now as we get into these end game levels and everybody's at level 30, man, like they're like level 15. So I had to do these challenge rooms over and over and over again. Now, the cool thing that kind of offsets that a little bit is the fact that as you get to a level, let's say a recommended level for the X-Mansion was level 20, I can't remember exactly. Hey, on that level, you unlock Psylocke, you unlock Nightcrawler. Guess what, man? It's kind of cool because they come in at that level. So they instantly bump up to level 20. And, you know, hey, that gives you a nice little boost. Storm, when I got to her and Black Panther and Wakanda, they came at like level 28, you know. Ghost Rider came in at like level 30. So that was nice that I had some people. But what it does is it absolutely destroys a lot of the experimentation. Say I'm late in the game and I'm really like, you know what, Spider-Man would be cool to use here. But I go to use Spider-Man and he's only level 14, but I'm on a level 34 level. Well, now I need to stop and I need to go grind him up. the thing that really caught my eye with this is after I had got people to like level 15, I kept playing and I was trying to switch people out. But again, obviously, if you're switching people out every checkpoint, you're only getting incremental XP for everybody, right? So it's not really helping. But it was when I got to Asgard, I was like, you know what? I want to use Thor, man. Just thematically, it seems right that he's in this group. And again, he was level 15. That was a level 30-something level. So I had to stop and grind. And that's where I spent a lot of my time for a while, just grinding and grinding and grinding so I could have the people that I wanted to spend a lot of time with, I could get them to a higher level so they could play on those. I've spent a lot of time talking about this because I absolutely think if I had to pick one flaw from this game, it's that. If I had to pick a minor flaw, I would say the stuff that I talked about, upgrading those gyms and upgrading the team management, they don't really explain that a whole lot. You kind of have to find your way through it. But honestly, man, the lack of experimentation because you're penalized using people you haven't used in a while, I think that was a major, major misstep. Probably the biggest thing on this game that I'm going to complain about is that. So with that being said, let's talk a little bit about that fun factor. And yeah, the lack of experimentation hurts that because I would have really liked to just been able to kind of just swap out and use the different characters whenever I saw fit. But that being what it was still a fun game. I think personally, if they made a number 4 and they were saying, hey, Graveyard Gamer, what would you recommend? I would say have a team XP, have a team rating. You know what I mean? So that like, cool, I haven't used the Wasp in forever since she unlocked. She's only level 6. But I've got Wolverine, who's level 5. Instead of worrying about them having individual levels, it's that team. You know, once you pick those characters to go on your team for a mission, they all get to that level. They all get to, cool, you've been upgrading this team level to the point that whoever's on that team is automatically at level 40, level whatever it may be at. I think that's the best way around it. But honestly, a ton of fun. The story I thought was awesome. It went in different ways than I expected. It was definitely not a generic one. It was definitely not copying the MCU version of Thanos and the gems. The other thing is the characters, to me, it was all well voice acted. I thought they were all great. And I ultimately thought they all fit their personalities. I also absolutely loved those Infinity Rifts. And yes, I did have to grind for the one, but there's some really cool ones in there. Now, don't get me wrong. You're not going to sit there and finish this game. And I'm going to get to that in a second. But one of the cool things about these Infinity Rifts is that's how you unlock different characters, man. Cyclops, Colossus, just different characters like that I kept unlocking by just playing through these things. And for the most part, some of them weren't that bad. Some of them were challenging in a fun way. And again, there are some that are just higher level that I haven't been able to do. And that is because, and I'm not going to say this is a misstep, but this is kind of a unique design for this game. The more I played this game, the more I interacted with people online, talking to them about it, the more I realized this game is not meant for one playthrough. This game is a game that the developers designed you to play through it multiple times. So therein lies that almost hardcore RPG element here, right? Where you see a lot of games that like Diablo and whatnot that, yeah, you could play through the campaign, but the goal is to play through it multiple times, keep leveling your people up. That's what this game's about. The whole point of this game is when you beat it, now you've got a team. You should probably pick one group of heroes to kind of run through pretty much the whole game with, so they're higher level, so that when you go back and you start it on a higher difficulty, now you can swap them out with different characters, so you have, you know, for example, two strong one, two weak one, but now they're going to gain XP and match up, and you can keep doing that so you can build it up. And honestly, to unlock some of these characters, you have to beat it at the hardest level, so you're going to have to play through it a couple times. Some of these rifts, man, their levels are a lot higher than even my Wolverine guy is at, that I'm like, oh man, like I'm not ready to fight those yet. So it is all about the replay. I think that is really cool that it adds longevity to this game. Can't say with me, with how I play the PSP, that I'm jumping right back into the game right away. That does bring me to the season pass. I'm going to include this right here before I get to the final review score. And there is one. It's about $20. And it's actually kind of one of those things that if I had got it earlier in my playtime, which I debated and I should have pulled the punch then, I think it would have been cool. If you wait too late and you're not planning on doing a replay right away, I think it's probably not the best thing. So it comes with 3 different packs. You get the first pack, which is Morbius, Blade, Punisher, and Moon Knight, all guys I'd like to play as, and they give you more challenge rooms. Then the next pack is an X-Men pack, and I definitely, as an X-Men fan, would like this pack. It includes Gambit, it includes Iceman, Cable, and Phoenix, which sounds cool, and you get a Danger Room, which is a little challenge-type room you can play different people online with, which is cool. And then finally, you get the Fantastic Four pack, which actually is the only story DLC, where it gives you a little epilogue, which definitely sounds interesting. And you're going to take them on as they go on to fight Dr. Doom. The only thing about that is it's only about an hour long is what I found out. Now, the other thing, the reason I say that I kind of should have done this earlier is you can't start playing with some of these characters until you get certain points in the story. And I really kind of debated, like, what was the level going to be like when they came in? My understanding, they're all about level 20. So around the time you get to the X-Mansion, you can use them all. But I just kind of felt like, by the time I went to go download this thing, as I was close to the end of the game, I didn't see the point in getting these characters that I've already spent a lot of time upgrading Wolverine and a couple people to the 40s to take on the final bosses. I didn't want to do the whole grind again. Had I got it earlier? Yes. But also at the end, I also didn't want to pay 20 bucks just for 1 hour expansion as well. So my personal recommendation, get the season pass either very soon in the game or if you decide to do a replay. I think that would be the perfect time to do it. So let's get to that final score. That final score for me, honestly, guys, yes, I have my issues with a few minor things in the game, but the biggest one being the way the upgrading works and the fact that just some people I never really played as because I didn't want to play with them at that moment, and then I was just too far ahead to even make them valuable on my team. I think that kills it. I think about, when I think of this, I go back to Marvel Ultimate Alliance 2. You unlocked a character named Songbird. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know Songbird from the comic books. He's not somebody that's ever in the comics I read. And normally, I would be very flippant, like, no, I'm not going to use her. But I decided to use her on a whim, and I found out, man, her powers in that game were fantastic. They were exactly the kind of powers I liked using. I liked teaming her up with other people, and she became a very pivotal part of my experience. In this game, though, I didn't have that same experimentation because, man, it was too much of a liability to pick somebody like Wasp, who was like level 6 when I was already in my level 20s for that stage. So to me, it's just one of those things that I do think hurts because it does kind of affect that fun factor. It does kind of, you know, affect me using those 36 characters the way I would want to. So end of the day, though, I'm still going to give it a high score. I'm going to give it a 9. This is a game, if you have a Switch, I highly recommend you playing it. I just would recommend, hey, every once in a while, once you unlock these challenge rooms, just try to go through them, you know? Hey, you get couple hours into it, spend a little bit of time playing these challenge rooms to upgrade the characters as you go, and I think it would make it a little bit smoother and probably give you back some of that options to experiment. But gamers, I would love to know your thoughts on Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. You can let me know, thegraveyardgamer@gmail.com, thegraveyardgamer on Instagram, or thegraveyardg on Twitter. Till next time, I'll be creeping around the graveyard.